It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you again this morning, and I trust that you're a place in your life where you're here not to see a person, not to be seen by any person, that you it's okay to come to receive, but that you also come to give, that you give of yourself, that you give of your heart, that you open your spirit and your heart to what God has to say to us this morning. I will be the first to admit I've got no clever sermon. I've got nothing to say that can actually change your life truthfully. But the good news is that we serve a living God and we have His living Word available to us, that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit that can take that Word and make it real and alive and interpret it into our hearts for what we need to hear. And we acknowledge our dependency upon the Lord this morning. We do not take for granted the privilege that we have to get together in this context as believers, to gather around His Word, to publicly share His Word with others, to have the Bible available to us in so many different translations, to share our faith with each other, to live our faith out, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. And every moment that we got, church, is precious. Every moment that we got is valuable and precious. So my prayer for each person this morning is that we really, really, really acknowledge the fact that what happens here on a Sunday is not about us and our fun and our fellowship and our laughter and our bikes and all the stuff, but that it's about one person, Jesus. Sometimes we have this idea that church is about us, but God has this idea that church is about Him. And that's my prayer this morning. So before I even start preaching, I just want to pray and just give God thanks this morning. Father, acknowledge my dependency upon You, Lord God, and thank You that You're the same miracle-working God of the Bible, Lord. You haven't changed. You're not just a historic figure that done a few great things thousands of years ago, but You're the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we only see each other from the outside, and we see how we're dressed, and we see the expression of our faces, but You see to the very, very depths of our spirits and our souls and our hearts. You know exactly where we are at in our lives. And in spite of all of that, Lord God, and in fact, because of that, You still love us unconditionally. I pray, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that You would minister the life of Father God to each one of us this morning, each person, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, forget about the challenges that we've been through to get here this morning, the issues that we're facing in the week which lays ahead, the difficulties, the concerns, and help us for in these few moments to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank You, Lord, that what we share this morning is Your living, powerful, life-changing Word. I thank You, Lord God, that it changes us, changes our lives, and helps us to become more like Jesus than ever before. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. How many of you would not like to experience heaven at home? How many of us would not like to experience heaven at home? I think that's something that whether you've phrased it like that, expressed it like that, or think about it like that, is irrelevant. At the end of the day, that's what we'd like. I'm not sure that there's anybody that wants to go home to discord and fighting and trauma and drama and issues and hassles and battles and stuff. I'm sure each one of us would want to experience heaven at home. And this message I've just called this morning, Hearts of the Fathers, and what we're going to be speaking about is God's plan, which has become such revelation to me recently, and is God is showing me His plan and His purpose in ways I've never ever seen it before, to simply bring about that concept, heaven at home. And I've called it Hearts of the Fathers. And to lay a foundation, I want to read an Old Testament scripture to you. It is the last prophecy in the Old Testament, after which there was 430 years, I think, at least 400, years of prophetic silence where God said and done nothing. It was silent. There were no more prophets sent. There were no more angelic visitations. There were no more dreams, visions. God had spoken. And He'd said what He needed to say to people, to mankind. And then there was silence. And this is the last Old Testament prophecy that God speaks. And it's from Malachi chapter 4. If you don't know where Malachi is, go to the New Testament. You start with Matthew. One book to your left. That's Malachi. Malachi. Chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says this: His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. The last Old Testament prophecy. And that prophecy is about Elijah, and it's a prophecy that's still to be fulfilled about the end times when Enoch and Elijah, who've been raptured, who have not yet faced a physical death, will come to the earth, and they're going to minister, and they're going to fulfill a great portion of unfulfilled scripture. But the principle is the turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. I'm going to read a statement to you made by Stephen Baskerville, and you can Google Stephen Baskerville's credentials and see why this man says what he says and what gives him the insight to be able to make this statement that I'm going to read to you this morning. Virtually every major social amper elke, whatever, daar hak ek vast met social pathology. I'm going to get this right in Jesus' name. Lord, anoint these lips to bring glory and honor to you, Father. Virtually every major social pathology has been linked to fatherlessness. Violent crime, drug and alcohol abuse, teen pregnancy, suicide, all correlate more strongly to fatherlessness than to any other single factor. The connection with fatherlessness is so strong that it erases the relationships between race and crime and low income and crime. So would it be fair to say that the number one reason for the social mess that we're facing in South Africa, the biggest curse, the biggest scourge on our nation, on our people, in the spiritual realm, is this thing called fatherlessness? I couldn't help but having this well up in my spirit as we were praying over these families. I thought, Lord, these are two families that can be different. These are two families that have the potential, provided there's obedience, to make a difference, to stop the scourge of fatherlessness. And that's great. And we pray a blessing over these families. But people, what kind of a world are we sending our children into? Now, what makes this challenging for me this morning is that I'm not a biological father to any children. I don't have children of my own. And in the early years of my courtship with Colette, well, after our marriage, actually, we began to wonder, Lord, what is wrong with us? It's not because biologically we couldn't conceive, but there was just not that desire. And believe you me, I love children. And I think the children in the church love me because oftentimes they come running, Uncle Mozzie, and it fills my heart with a joy that only a child can bring. So I've got no issues with children and my wife even less. Somehow God put us together in such a way that because we don't have biological children of our own, and please hear my heart, there's space in our lives for children who have not had their fathers there for them. Just the place where God ended up allowing us to stay when we moved to Funabel Park. Our neighbors either side, there were issues where the biological parents were not there. And I've had a small role to play in the lives of the children. So this thing of fatherless is really, 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 really close to my heart. It really is. So if you look at two families that say, right, we pray a blessing over them, and provided the parents live up to their commitment and covenant which they've made today, those children are going to be raised in a God-fearing household. But the world that they get sent into, the world that's out there for us, folks, it is not yet being factually verified. But there's a strong, strong suspicion with good reason that South Africa is the most highest orphaned nation on the planet. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. South Africa, the place where we live, the most highest orphaned nation on the planet. And then we wonder why South Africa is in the mess that it is. Think about that, folks. And this is becoming a revelation to me. I thought, okay, as a minister, out of all the things we teach and all the programs and all the courses we have, what should we be focusing on as a church if this is the biggest issue we're facing in the nation? What should we be focusing on as a church? You might think to yourself, well, how do you address it? How can you be a father to so many fatherless people? Well, there is a method and there's a plan in all of this. But I sense God saying, folks, as a church, you know, guys, the scripture teaches that God has given us everything that pertains to a life of godliness in Him. There's no plan B or plan C coming from heaven. There's not another thing or fourth or phenomenon or person that's forthcoming from heaven to fix this mess on this little blue marble. The Church of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, get this in your spirits, please. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's answer. There were not enough amens. I'm going to have to repeat that. The Church of Jesus Christ, you, young children, teenagers, adolescents, Gen X's, Gen Y's, Gen Z's, millennials, wherever you fall in there, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled man or woman of God, you are God's answer for the mess that's in the world right here and now. And even more so, you are God's answer for South Africa. The church has what it takes to fix this. The question begs to be answered. What are we doing about it? I want to tell you that church life, our church called Bikers Church, it's so much more than just listen to my heart. Some people may think, oh, this guy's losing the vision. No, I'm not losing the vision. This church, it's so much more about winning motorcyclists, their friends and families to the Lord one heart at a time. Because ek dink soveel keer staar ons ons blind aan die motorfietse en hoe lekker dit kan wees. Reaching out to motorcyclists, folks, should be just one of the things that we're doing as a church. Just one of the things that we are doing as a church. Because what am I called to be first? A motorcyclist or a Christian? Am I called to fulfill the vision that God has given us as CMAs or the Great Commission? Does it make sense what I'm saying, church? Don't go and say, no, well, this folks losing the vision. No, I'm not. I just know what the scripture says and I know what God is laying on our hearts and what we called to do as a church. So this thing of fatherness, ladies and gentlemen, it is catastrophic to say the least. It is catastrophic to say the least. Okay, if I have to ask you, and I'd like some feedback this morning, I'd like people to speak to me. Okay, are you okay? You really took to, this is your reg om met my te praat, bro, I'll say. No problem. I know Dev's got my back. If I have to say to you this morning, what was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth? What's the answer that comes up quickly in your... Just speak it out. Let's just hear. What was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth? Die for the sins. To show us the way. To serve. Anything else? Come. How about this side? Show us how to... Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Philly said this, to show us the Father. He said, but no, hang on, he had to die. Yes, he had. Most of us will say, well, he came to die and paid the price for our sins. And none of what you said is wrong. But the primary reason for all of that was this. Where do I get that from? The disciples were questioning Jesus. And Philip asked him in John 14 and verse 9. Philip replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Because they asked him, he was telling them about the Father. And they said to him, well, show us the Father. You're telling us about the Father. And here's Jesus' reply. He says, I've been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? So Jesus' purpose for coming to earth was to show us the Father. His death and resurrection speaks of the Father's love for us. So yes, it was to die. Yes, it was to show us the way. Show us the way to what? To the Father. Show us how to live. Why? To get to the Father. He came to serve. How? To show us how the Father serves mankind by laying down His life so that we can enjoy His life. The purpose was to show us the Father. So if there's so much emphasis on the Father, should we really be doing anything else in our church agendas if fatherlessness is the greatest scourge in society, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to give you some statistics that is going to rattle your cage in a few minutes. Stick with me. Are you still here, church? So Jesus' purpose was to show us the Father. How many of us would say that we don't want heaven in our homes? And often we hear this expression, heaven on earth. Well, how do we get there? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, those of you that have boyfriends, girlfriends now, and you've not yet tied the knot, and maybe you have tied the knot. And, you know, you remember you're in that phase where everything is just so dreamy and it's just so lacquer and there's not a care in the world. And you see him and it's high, and you see her and it's high. Do you know that that is scientifically proven? It's because of a chemical imbalance in your body. So I want to say to you, when you're feeling that you're whacked in your head, if you don't believe me, Google it. It's because of a chemical imbalance in your body. Now, once that feeling has come and gone and reality sets in, and you wake up one morning and you think, what is this in the bed next to me? Or ladies, you think, where did I go wrong? Prince Charming rode in and he's ridden right out. Where's he gone? Once reality sets in, and the reality of life happens, and the enemy of your soul comes to destroy the very fabric of your family, what do we do then? What do we do then? And folks, don't raise your hands now. But there's challenges in home life. There's challenges in marriage. There's challenges between parents and children and teenagers. There's challenges and there's difficulties. And fatherlessness is the major contributing factor to all of these things. And there's so much that I'm learning about this. I have to have a complete paradigm shift in my whole ministry approach in terms of, Lord, how do we address the needs of the people and what are the underlying issues? Because if I have my hand on a plate that's hot and it's busy burning, I think, well, the problem is I just got to switch the electricity off and then it's going to solve the issue, right? No. You've got to look, what's my hand doing on that hot plate in the first place? Because sodra daar 'n volgende warm stoofplaat is, gaan ek weer my hande opsit. So dit help nie net ek flikkie switch en die krag is af. That's like symptomatic. What is the cause of thisness? The cause of this, and God is showing this to us. So Jesus wants to show us the Father. Listen to this, folks. God wants to reveal His heart through fathers to whom He's revealed His heart. I'm going to repeat that. God wants to show His heart through fathers to whom He's revealed His heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. This is from the Message paraphrase. I couldn't find it said any better than this paraphrase. I went through several translations, and this is the one I chose for this morning. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow. Wow. To help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. So exactly how does this plan of God to use and prepare fathers fit into the Great Commission? Surely the importance and the urgency, I mean, we've just come through the Passover weekend where we celebrate that as a ministry of CMA, our theme for this year is go. Go and make disciples. Go, go. How does this concept of fatherlessness fit into all of that, this Great Commission? So well, here it is. That scripture that we started off with, Malachi 4, and verse 6 speaks about the ministry of Elijah and Enoch that's going to come. It's going to be fulfilled, but the principle is the same. It speaks about Elijah's end-time ministry and a portion of Elijah's anointing, a portion, coming on John the Baptist so that John could prepare the way for Jesus. Of John the Baptist, Jesus said, there is no other man greater than he, this kind of this prophet, because he's coming to prepare the way for me. He says, there's never been a man quite like John the Baptist. That's what we're saying this morning. His ministry is unique. He came to prepare the way for Jesus. How did John do that? And this is where the light started going on for me. How did John do that? Why was this portion of Elijah's ministry on John the Baptist? Why? It says, Elijah's preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. When fathers' hearts are turned to their children and children's hearts are turned to their fathers, the way is prepared for Jesus. I'm going to prove it to you from the scripture. And I'm being honest with you, church. My theology paradigm had to change. I said, hang on a second, Lord, this has got to be scriptural. Where's this? And it is clear as daylight right there. Jesus speaks of John's ministry and he says, this is the one that was spoken of. He's come to prepare the way for me. How did John do that? He had a portion of Elijah's anointing on him so that through John's ministry, the way for Jesus could be prepared. How? How? By turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. Let's make it practical and bring it close to home. This morning, after here, we're going to leave and we're having a no-color run. We're calling it that because we're laying down our colors and for several reasons. We're going to see, help us see how many unpatched bikers there are out there and also help us to be more effective to share Jesus and our life with Jesus with people without having a patch open the door for you. So we're going out there to do that. So we go there and we want to share Jesus with people. How effective is our ministry going to be, just bear with me, church, when we're trying to tell somebody about a loving, caring Father who gives, who cares, who blesses, where a person has a completely warped, distorted understanding of what a father is altogether. Then I come there with my religious philosophy, when I'm telling them about a caring, loving Father, where all they've been subjected to their entire life is an absent father or an abusive father. Do you see the point? You see, the way we relate to Father is so strongly formed and molded by the way we experienced our Father's relationship with us. So if I have the misfortune of not having a father in my life, or having a father that was there but was not there, emotionally disconnected father that taught cowboys don't cry, that never expressed love, that never gave me an embrace, that never showed love, that never gave encouragement, that never fulfilled the four primary roles of a father to establish moral authority. Establish moral authority, confirm identity, provide security, and affirm potential. Those four things. We'll go into that teaching in the future. But if a father wasn't there to do that, I come along on my motorbike, ready to tell people about Jesus and this loving father, and their worldview or their paradigm of a father is completely messed up. How strong a foundation, church, is there, do you think, to lay the foundation of Jesus Christ on in that person's life? Think about that. Isn't it one of the things that we should be looking at in terms of our ministry success when we share the gospel of Jesus? So people get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they say what we call in Christian circles, they gave their life to the Lord Jesus. And the first gap that the enemy gets in when he steals to kill and destroy, something bad happens, what do they do? What do they ask? But God, where were you? Why? Because of the false concept of father. Because of what? A scar from fatherlessness. And you can take any other social pathology that there is and you will see, you will find its roots in the concept of fatherlessness. For many, many years in counseling, we were taught this, that the three primary reasons, because of extensive research the world over that contributes towards failed marriages are these three things: communication, sex, and money. Not enough of either one of them. Communication, sex, and money. But folks, this is what I'm learning. Those three things are merely symptoms of fatherlessness because of insecurities. Communication insecurities, sexual insecurities, financial insecurities because of fatherlessness. So those things are not even, that's not the underlying cause. The underlying cause of those three contributing factors towards failed marriages is insecurities because of fatherlessness. And folks, I'm learning as we go through this thing, and it is blowing me away, this phenomenon that we're dealing with today. And God wants to do this. In Luke 1 and verse 17, it describes John the Baptist's ministry. And in Luke 1, 17, it says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Speak about John the Baptist. This is speaking about John the Baptist, these preceding verses, and it's saying, John the Baptist is going to go and do this. He's going to go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready, everybody say, make ready. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In the New King James, it says there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John's going to do this. He's going to make ready a people for the Lord. Get the people ready to receive the ministry of Jesus by doing it how? By turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. Is this making sense to somebody? Are you starting to see the importance of this morning? The key words are here, to make ready. The purpose of God using fathers to bring heaven home is to make us ready to receive the gospel message. Now, folks, please don't sit here and think, well, this is about the fathers, the fathers, the fathers, the fathers. The mothers have just as big a role, if not more, in this process. Because, gentlemen, whether we want to know it or not, or we accept it or not, or see it or not, or believe it or not, we need the help of the ladies. We need the help of the ladies. The lady plays an extremely important role. When we do the missing in action teachings, the side of it addressed to the ladies called the mother's design. The mother's design. The mother's role, the role that the woman plays to enable the father to fulfill his role. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. And it just so happened that God has chosen the men to be the leaders in the home. That's, if you've got an issue with it, sort it out with God. He made that decision. Okay, so the purpose of God using fathers to bring heaven home is to make us ready to receive the gospel message. The gospel message. We've looked at the securities already in marriages and because of this. So, this teaching, I don't want to call it a philosophy because then it sounds like psychological stuff, but this the concept, the principle of the world needs a father. Listen carefully, church. It is not a movement. It's not a course. It's not a program. It's not another course that needs to be ticked off our to-do list. Yeah, it's missing in action, done that, been there, right, let's move on. It's not that. Listen, it's a movement that changes mindsets in families, where families then again can then change churches, where churches can change cultures, where cultures can change nations, that nations can then change the world. Folks, if we take the responsibility that we have as a church seriously, we've got a nation that is busy bleeding. It's hemorrhaging badly. What solution is the church going to bring to the table? I hope this is challenging you as it challenges me. What solution is the church going to bring to the table? Let's say we leave here this morning and say, right, Mosie het gepraat van fatherlessness and so on. Wat moet ek doen? How can I be a father? There's not enough fathers anyway for the amount of orphans in this country. What do we do? But every leader in every aspect and facet of society can play a role. You're listening this morning to somebody who can play a father's role in somebody's life who has not had a father. Leaders, teachers, coaches, business leaders, anybody who has an opportunity to influence a child in some way. How's about this concept? Every family, think about this church. Think about the impact that we can make where every family in this church adopts a household where there is no father. Think about that. Don't raise your hands now, but I know because I know the vast majority of us here this morning, if you're brutally honest with yourself, you're sitting with mother wounds and father wounds in your life because of fatherlessness. Don't raise your hands. You're thinking, I'm okay. Allow the Holy Spirit to shed His light on the deep issues of your heart. So if that's the people within the church, what about those who are still the enemy's victims outside of the kingdom of God? Imagine if each family in this church adopts a home where there is no father. En ek praat nie, moet asseblief nie laat jou gedagtes gaan na geld toe nie. If your mind's going there, you're missing the point. The point is about being somebody in whom the living Spirit of God dwells, who has the power of God, who has the good news of God, who has a relationship with Jesus, being able to go to a family and bring heaven home to that family by playing a role in the lives of those who have no fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time. The situation is critical. It is beyond urgent. It is catastrophic. Listen to this. We have to do the impossible. We have to. This challenge that we're facing in this nation is impossible to fix. But we have to. We have to. Ek kan nie net hierso sit in my klein, oulike, veilige, gemaklike, Christelike babbel. Laat die res van die wêreld rondom my hel toe gaan. And think that God's going to be okay with that. Folks, we can't. We can't. Each one of us are going to have to go before God and say, God, show us how. Show us where. Show us when. What role can we play to stop the curse of fatherlessness in our nation? Daarom sê ek vir julle, this missing in action thing that's taking place next week Thursday evening, next week Friday evening, and next week Saturday, folks, it is not a course. It's not a course. It's something that's going to change your life, this church, change the culture we live in, change our areas, our neighborhoods, and hopefully change a nation. We have to implement this change. We have to, ladies and gentlemen, it is critical. These issues will be addressed during the Missing in Action teachings that's going to be taking place. If you haven't registered, I know the deadline's passed. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, please do so. If you think, well, my family's, I have huge pieces of heaven at home, Mozzie. We're a blessed family and God blesses us. My brother, my sister, I'm so glad for you. How about you being a blessing in the lives of families where there's no father? Dat jy dink nie, die missing in action ding is nie vir my nie, ons is alright. Okay, great. We need you. We need you. Here are some statistics to help you put this in perspective, and I'm starting to land this thing now. 63% of suicides come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 40% of children do not live with their biological fathers. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless children come from fatherless homes. 71% of children who do not finish school come from fatherless homes. Church, need I go on? So, how do we fix this curse in South Africa? If the statistics show us and prove to us that the number one contributing factor is fatherlessness, as a church, as a Christian, how do we address it? How do we address it? The percentages of homes that have been run without fathers is shocking. There's a culture. I think it's the Zulu culture. Forgive me if I'm wrong, and this is not a racial thing. That if a man gets to his midlife crisis, men will know what we're talking about. You get midlife crisis where you see success is no longer enough anymore. You're looking for significance. There's a book, I forget the author's name, but it's called Halftime. I encourage you gentlemen, read it. Forget the author. It's called Halftime. It helps us understand what happens. It's not only men that go through this. You get to that midlife crisis. How many of you heard that? You've experienced the measure of success, but that's not enough anymore. You want significance. Okay? I think it's the Zulu culture where in that culture, if you get tired of your wife who's born your children, you simply divorce her and the grandparents must raise the children so that you can get your new wife. You want to upgrade from an 18-valve model to a 16-valve or normally aspirated to fuel injection? You want to, and guys, listen, we laugh. It's culturally acceptable. In other words, we think, how could you? It's normal. Guys, I don't know if you're getting this. It is normal in the culture. It is normal then to put a child in a place where it's no longer raised by its father. That child gets raised without a father. What does it know? Life without a father. It then has a role in biologically in bringing another child into the world. What does it do? Raises up another child without a father. That then child, can you see? It continues on and on and on and on. And all the while, families are destroyed and people go to hell and children end up on the streets. The prisons get fuller and fuller and fuller. We have to do something about this. I say this is not a course. It's not a program. It's not a passing phase. This is going to be the norm for this church. Our ministry approach is going to be this. Lord, in what way can we take what you're telling us to do to win Manasakhtas, their friends and families, and whoever else to the Lord through the avenue of addressing the issue of fatherlessness? And those who have fathers who and currently where you're sitting, we have father wounds and mother wounds. Lord, how do we address those issues? That's going to be the norm. We as the Church of Jesus Christ have a huge responsibility to stop this curse of fatherlessness in our nation. We can start to make a positive change right where we are here and now in our homes. As Jesus came to show us the Father, we can show our families and communities the heart of God our Father. Flight, my story is 8. I pray that by the Spirit of God, He stirred something in your heart. That He's started a little spark somewhere, a glimmer of how severe this issue is. And the weighty, weighty responsibility that rests on us as the Church of Jesus Christ. And I know maybe you come to church this morning thinking, Lord, you know, Mozzie, where I'm at, there's so many they've got issues, and I understand. But the one who can fix those is the Father. The Father. The Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. And if you're sitting here this morning, you don't have to raise up your hands, and I'm not going to do an altar call. I want God to visit you right where you are seated, in your seat there. If you just take a few moments just to be prayerful, open your eyes, close your eyes, stand, sit, do whatever it takes for you to connect with God. And allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you this morning. And let God show you. And also, Lord, show me the things that I do. How much of it, or which one of those things, is as a result of the fact that my daddy was not there? Is as a result of the fact that to this day, I don't even know who my biological dad is. Or is as a result of my dad was there, but he was emotionally disconnected from me. How many of the issues that you face because of this thing called fatherlessness? And be humble this morning before the Lord. As the Holy Ghost moves in our midst this morning and speaks into our hearts, you ask yourself that. And just allow the Holy Spirit to bring His healing and His comfort and His preparation in your heart for what lays ahead. And whatever that issue is, I don't want to lead you in a prayer. That would be presumptuous. I want you to, in your own words, in your own heart, call on God this morning. Call on God. And ask Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to start the process of healing and restoration in your life. And maybe you're at a strong place this morning where you had the absolute heavenly gift of being raised by a God-fearing father and a God-fearing mother. And you were raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And you love God with your whole life. And your whole life you've been raised around Christian principles. And your family is strong. Ask God to show you how and where you can make a difference in the lives of a family, a person, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a child, who hasn't had the privilege that you have had. So this is for all of us, my brother, my sister, as you do business with God there. Seek the Lord this morning and ask Him to show you how and where. So, Father, thank You as You minister Your life to us, Lord God, that we can just be real this morning and allow You to speak into our lives and to change our hearts. And, Father, this thing, it's a huge responsibility and it's an impossible task. We know that, but You're the God of the impossible. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You anoint us all, each one of us, with the responsibility that's right in front of us, even our responsibilities at home, our immediate situations. Help us address this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Prepare our hearts and our minds for the tremendous work that lays ahead. And Father, we come to You in desperation and in need. Say, God, we need You. We need You, Lord God, to address this in our lives and in this nation, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our business places, Lord God, and in our circles of influence. I pray wisdom for all of us, Lord, as we seek Your face together this morning. And we want to pray like Jesus. We say, Lord, we want Your kingdom come and Your will be done in families. We want heaven in homes as You use moms and dads to do just that, Father. And we thank You for that this morning in Jesus' precious name. Folks, we want to give you an opportunity to this. We're going to give you an opportunity one more time to register for this Missing in Action. We've advertised the price there, which includes meals. We want to say this to you. Please do not stay away if it's because of the money. You can come and not eat anything. You can come and bring 16 picnic baskets of your own. The reason we structured it like that is to make it easy for people that come straight from work into the teachings that meals will be provided. Moms don't have to worry about getting meals prepared and get the family dressed and washed and fed in time. So that option is available. If you want to come and sit under the teachings and receive the material, get all the meals, the cost is there. I think it's $235 per person. If you just want to come and sit under the teachings, it's R35. That's just to cover the printing of the book. You get all the study material. And even if that is unaffordable to you, and we not want to bring shame or disgrace to anybody, even if that is unaffordable to you, and the R35 is just a little bit too much of a stretch for you this month, please don't stay away because of that. Please get in touch with Madeleine yesterday already. Get yourself registered. We'll make a plan to cover the costs and make sure that you attend these teachings with us. I want to thank you for making the time to listen this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have an awesome week. Looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week. And give us some time to get geared up and ready up outside. We're going to go on the run to Parais and spend some time just ministering with each other. Thank you, guys. God bless you.